Hi, this is Ernie Fazio, and the show is Earnestly Speaking. And we discuss all kinds of topics on this show. And we have today with us a man named Ron Loveland. And Ron is the president of
Summit Business Solutions.
Summit Business Solutions. Now, that sounds like you could be almost doing anything. But specifically, what do you do for
business? Sure. Our company provides industrial engineering services, training, primarily to manufacturers, but also to other industrial companies to help them improve their productivity, free up working capital, and accelerate their top-line growth.
Now, if I have a factory and I have some machines running and I have lathes and what have you, I know my business.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I need you?
Okay.
Because you can overview it?
Yeah, so what we do is we come in and we analyze the business. We look for ways to improve the productivity, reduce costs.
Weren't you guys efficiency experts once?
We are. We are efficiency experts.
No, but that was the title, wasn't it? I think that's out of favor, though.
I'm not sure how you classify us now, but we help our customers with efficiencies, get their costs down, better manage their inventory, and also to improve their profitability.
My orientation from a long time ago was from the labor movement, and efficiency experts were terrible at understanding the working man. They understood how machines work, but they didn't understand how people work. Is it more sophisticated today?
Yeah, things have changed. We use techniques such as lean manufacturing, which came out of Toyota, car manufacturer. And you know that Toyota came out of the ashes of World War II. You know, they were basically on their backs and have now taken over the automotive world. They've been the number one automotive producer. And they use techniques that empowered the employees. So these days, the approach is to empower the employees, to give them the tools to be able to be more efficient, more productive.
You know, Toyota and the Japanese industry in general took on the management techniques of a guy named Demme?
That's right, Edward Deming. Edward Deming tried to convince the U.S. automakers to use these techniques and fell on deaf ears because they were on top of the world, didn't want to listen to it. He went over to Japan and basically turned them into...
Good enough for my father, good enough for my mother, good enough for me. We ain't going to change.
That's right. But then as you know... You know, through the 90s and 2000s, all of a sudden, GM and the big three were in trouble and, needed a big bailout. So they're coming back, and they've adopted a lot of the things that Edward Demings had mentioned to the Japanese, which they embraced, and now everybody's embracing them.
Well, one of the things that they didn't like was the fact that this little crazy guy on the line, Ernie Fazio, says, "Stop the line. This isn't working." The American manufacturer says, "What is that? That's nothing. That ain't happening here."
Right. Yeah. That's a tough technique. It's a lot of pressure on the person that's pulling the andon cord and saying, "Let's stop the line." So there's got to be some significant issues going on. But does it make sense to keep making bad parts and get those bad parts out into the consumers? So you and I are driving cars, and we have problems with ignitions and other things?
Well, you sell a car in 2 months, and in 3 months he finds out the door is rattling. Who cares?
Well, obviously, American consumers care, and other consumers around the world care. That's why Toyota kind of took over the world, and now the U.S. automakers are catching up.
Well, I guess I bought a car that was built right in the middle of that terrible manufacturing spurt we had. It was I had a 52 Lincoln convertible. And what a piece of crap that was. That thing would fall apart by looking at it. And, you know, I don't think it was any worse than any other American car, but maybe it was.
Right. So if you look at cars even 10, 15 years ago, you know, they last a lot longer. A lot of cars on the road for 200,000-300,000 miles.
I just heard that the age of a car, average age is now 11.2 years.
Right. So a lot of people during the recession, of course, were stretching that out as much as they could. But now they can. You know, back in the day, in the 50s, like you say, you couldn't do that. Matter of fact, my father-in-law, who's 89, was just talking about how you know, if you could get a car to 30 or 40,000 miles, you're doing good.
50,000 miles on my car, I got to get a new one.
Right, that's right. Otherwise, it'd be falling apart in the highway.
It'd be old car, you know? Now it's broken in.
That's right. Just getting broken in at 100,000. That's right.
I had a Datsun. It was the first Datsun that was the 300ZX.
Mm-hmm.
I bought it from a brochure. I didn't even buy it.
Oh, it's a nice car.
And I bought it. Yeah, I was younger and it was fast, and I liked it. But that thing went 200,000 miles, and I don't know what happened to it after that, but I got rid of it. But, you know, 200,000 miles, it was unheard of. Anyway, go ahead. What are some of the projects that you've helped out with? And you talk about funding, too, right?
Right. So one of the things I want to talk about is the federal, state, and city funding. Now, city funding is for folks in five boroughs. However, once a year, the state puts out a funding round, and they can give you up to $100,000 in training funds to help improve your worker skills, you know, do things like solder certification, welder certification. We do Lean Six Sigma inventory management certifications, and it upgrades the worker skills, which helps them be more competitive.
Is that funding coming from the idea that we're losing manufacturing and we want to help these employees change into another occupation?
That's right. So this is to try to maintain. As you know, manufacturing is really taken on the chin in the last 10, 15 years. You know, look at what happened to Grumman. So what New York State is trying to do is keep manufacturing here in New York, try to foster high-paying jobs. You know, if you think about somebody who doesn't have college education or a lot of education, they're able to make a pretty good wage in manufacturing.
You know, when I hear people say things like that, it kind of gets me under my skin a little
okay.
bit, and I'll tell you why. Things like fuel injection, they didn't come from Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
They came from the track mechanics. Did you know that?
I didn't know that. It's good to know.
They figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
That means that they had an engineering understanding of how things worked, and they could make that happen.
Sure.
Once they start doing it, the automobile making manufacturers had all the resources in the world, and they decided to make it better. And they made it cheaper, too.
Right.
Because everything was handmade on a lathe, and it's very, very expensive to build an engine on a piece at a time like that,
mm-hmm.
or a subassembly like that. And they learned from those guys. Now, I've always said, because I know mechanics, and I've been a mechanic,
okay.
and I know how all of that works, and I've been in an executive position too.
Okay.
And the attitude among executive positions is that these people are less than us. They aren't.
They're not. No, nobody knows the job that somebody's doing every day better than that person is doing every day.
That's right.
And that's really the approach that lean manufacturing takes, and what we take when we work with a company to try to empower them. So a lot of times, individuals who are on the production line, for instance, have ideas of how to improve things. They just haven't had the opportunity. They haven't had the forum to do that.
Do you know who had a lot of insight on this? AT&T.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, they had, they probably still operate this way in some regard. They had what they called the Bell System Practices, BSP.
Okay.
It was a big book, and everybody had one. If you were out on a truck, you probably never looked at this book, but it was this thick, okay. and it had every procedure in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally, you really didn't know what to do with a certain situation. You look it up.
Sure.
And you find it. Well, when I was a mechanic for them, and in my getting out of the Coast Guard, I found that how to do a lot of things better than the BSP. And what I did was I was asked to write about it. In other words, do the diagrams. You know, we'll get the artist to do it better.
Mm-hmm.
But do the diagrams and do the dialogue on the topic and show how we can make this procedure faster, better, more efficient. And I would write that. And that wasn't the only one. I mean, I would say out of 100 workers, two or three of us would do things like that.
Right.
But what we did was we went, not everybody's a writer. Mm-hmm. Not everybody has that skill.
Right.
But I would watch other mechanics and I'd learn something from them and I'd write what they did.
Sure.
You know? So we have to learn how to appreciate people, and if you're doing that in your work, mm-hmm. I salute you, because you'll get so much further.
Yeah, and one of the things we always talk about in our engagements with our clients is continuous improvement. You know, yes, you may have the big book from AT&T that was published, you know, sometime in the past, but the idea is every day you come to work, look for some way to do it better.
Thank you very much. I'm talking to Ron Loveland.
Yes, sir.
And this is Ernie Fazio, Earnestly Speaking. We're on Long Island News Radio. Thanks for listening. We'll be back.